the sunshine on his head in such a way, it almost looked like the glow of an angel, didn't it? So I probably need you to get some pictures quickly, dear, because no one would ever believe that. It's good to be here. I also am a little subconscious in the fact that I also noticed that it highlights your gray when you stand in the light, but praise the Lord. It is good to be here. Looking forward to the next few days with you, and certainly this day, and getting started on what I believe the Lord wants us to at least begin with. And I'm going to, today, this morning in Sunday school and during the morning service, and really this afternoon as well, try to put some, I want to call it just sort of basic foundational things in place. Now, I'm not talking about the doctrine of salvation or the doctrine of the Word of God. Those are all foundational, basic, and things we should learn. I'm talking about concerning what we're doing and why we're doing it and how we get to where it is something we would call revival and what exactly that means. And I want to begin this morning, even probably more basic than that, then talk about why we come and do what we're doing right now. What's the point of coming to church? And does God have instruction for us about this? And the answer to all of that is yes, God has very clear instruction about how we're to engage really the Word of God when we come to church. So I know that church includes more than preaching. I hope I don't have COVID, last I checked, which was never. But I know that when we come to church, there are different things that make up a part of a worship time. Okay, worshiping God, which is, you know, humbling ourselves before Him, really acknowledging Him, us being lowered and Him being lifted up. He's worthy. That's worship. Okay, and we're to do that. That's not so much physical always as it is in our heart, though, isn't that right? And we're to also praise God corporately. God inhabits, the Bible says, the praise of His people, and so, you know, praise. Our praise is really most often, let's say, filled up in our singing together. Corporate singing is a part of the corporate praise of God in a church. It's true. We're to worship God and praise. Those things are very closely connected. Almost, we address them maybe in different words, but I don't want to disconnect them. They sort of just melt all together, don't they? We're also to fellowship, okay? The book of Hebrews tells us, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as a manner of some is. Right before that, it talks about exhorting one another. You know, helping one another, and so much the more as to see the day approaching. We're to come together so that we can fellowship, so that we can encourage one another, and to bear one another's burdens, and know how to pray for one another, and to establish knit together hearts. The Bible describes the local church as being a body that's knit together in love. We're to come to church, and all of those things are to go on in church. But the center of the church services, and really the church ministry, is always the Word of God. Because all of those things we just talked about, they're developed in our life, they're instructed, or we're given that instruction, and then they're developed in our life through the Word of God. And that's why when Paul instructs Timothy as he becomes a preacher of sorts. Timothy had some itinerant ministry and some pastoring ministry. That's what he said to him. Preach the word, Timothy. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering. Right? And why? Because at the center of all of the things we do, the thing that drives and directs everything we do in the church is connected to or centered in the Word of God. And the thing that grows us, see, one of the things that happens at church is that we take in the Word of God, and the profit of that is that it strengthens us spiritually so that when we leave and go back out into the world, we can shine as brighter lights, we can endure temptation and overcome because we have feasted on the Word of God and we have been strengthened by it. That's why we do what we do. And I want to focus on the center of this morning, and that's the Word of God. Now, let me explain to you why, and then I'm going to have you open your Bible. And you can go ahead and open it. If you can listen and open, that's fine. And to the book of Proverbs in chapter 22. Let me tell you one of the things, as you're doing that we experience as we travel around the country. And we've experienced it for a number of years, probably as long as I can remember, though I believe it to be a growing issue. And that is this. I believe the number one entertainment, instrument for those who claim to be Bible-believing Christians is preaching. Now, don't get me wrong. Preaching is what we ought to be doing. But I fear that preaching has often been relegated to in church only, and that it is about how good it is. So you have people that have their favorite preachers. That's not necessarily wrong, but you got to be careful with it, you know. You have people who say, man, that was the greatest sermon that I ever heard. But here's why I say what I said about it being entertainment, is because what we notice is that people tend, in our circles, that's what I'm talking about, to come, hear preaching, go, come, go, come, go. And over the period of, let's say, a year, literally hear 100 hours or so, more maybe, depending on their faithfulness in the different programs, of Bible instruction, and lives not change one bit. The Word of God, the instruction, was intended to conform us, to transform us, really, into the image of Jesus Christ. And, you know, be not conformed to this world, Romans chapter 12, but be transformed, how? By the renewing of your mind. How do I renew my mind? Well, I have to get old thoughts and philosophies out and new ones in. And if I'm to be transformed into that which is an acceptable or pleasing living sacrifice, that means I need to get the world's thoughts and philosophies out as dominating my mind, and I need to get God's mind or thoughts in as dominating my mind. Is everybody with me here? And that happens through the instrument of the Word of God. And because of the fact that we see so much, you know, people coming, hearing, coming, leaving, coming, hearing, leaving, coming, hearing, leaving, and yet so little real change in churches and their spiritual condition often, and individuals, it's imperative that we hear what God says about how we individually are to profit from the preaching of the Word of God. And God directly addresses it here in Proverbs chapter number 22. And I want you to go down to verse number 17 with me of Proverbs chapter 22. And, excuse me, got a little something in my throat there. Verse 17 says, "Bow down thine ear and hear the words of the wise, and apply thine heart unto my knowledge. For it is a pleasant thing if thou keep them within thee. They shall withal be fitted in thy lips, that thy trust may be in the Lord. I have made known to thee this day, even to thee. Have not I written to thee excellent things in counsels and knowledge, that I might make thee know the certainty of the words of truth, that thou mightest answer the words of truth to them that sinned unto thee." Now, in that section of this chapter, God, through Solomon, addresses and tells us how we're to interact with truth. So let me just give you a quick thought, and we'll dig some things out of this passage. I already know, because I walked downstairs and I saw some of it cooked, that there is some phenomenal food down there. And I didn't even see all the main parts. I just saw the side parts, okay? And I understand there's roast. Is that right? There's a roast down there. And, you know, maybe even something as cool as cheese pizza. I don't know. But that food will all be at some point that's, and not too long from now, it'll all be laid out on a table. And you'll have the opportunity to go down there and to partake of it, okay? You can pick what you want out of it, and you can digest it, you can eat it, and you should be able to nourish yourself on it, right? There might even be some things that aren't necessarily nourishing, but they make you have a happy face, okay? I don't know for sure, but that's possible, right? But I would tell you that all of that laid out does you no good if you don't take it. If you don't interact with it appropriately, then it won't profit you at all. You could leave here and say, man, I'm starving to death. That preacher went on forever. I'm starving. But there's a whole meal down there, you know, that you could have been nourished and strengthened and even given a happy face by, right? But you just didn't take it. Well, that's the way Solomon addresses that. So let me give you a truth that I'm going to try to teach you from this passage. Every time you engage the Word of God, God wants to accomplish one thing in your life. Okay? At least one thing, but generally one thing. He never does this. He never gathers his people together, opens the Word of God, gives a Holy Spirit-directed message from a Holy Spirit-inspired word. He never does that as time filler. He always does that because he wants to profit you in your life. He wants to call the lost to be redeemed. Those who don't know Jesus as their Savior. How do we develop that faith? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Okay? He wants to transform the redeemed. He wants to encourage the downtrodden, doesn't he? He wants to correct and rebuke those that would be rebellious against him. But he always wants to do something, one thing in your life when you come. Every time the Bible's open, he wants to do something in your life. You are not here this morning for nothing. You're here because there's an almighty divine God who over the next couple hours is going to try to do a couple of things in you to make your life abundant and his glory great. Now, when we begin to read in this passage in chapter 22 and verse 17, really the meat of the message is in verse 17. Because there are three phrases there that God gives us that give us very clear instruction on how we're to engage the preaching and teaching of the Word of God. And I'm going to show them to you here, and I'm going to try to give them to you applicationally. But it says this in verse 17. First of all, bow down thine ear. Okay? Now, let me give you that in, applicational terms, okay? Bow down thine ear, and then try to explain it to you just a little bit. But the first thing, really, if I could just put it in these terms, is this. God says, when you come to the preaching and teaching of the Word of God, pay attention on purpose. Bow down thine ear. Pay attention on purpose. The idea of bowing down your ear there, if you've probably seen somebody do that, is this. Right? They're not hearing clearly, and so they say, well, let me get a little closer. Let me maybe make the ability. It's doing what it takes to hear the Word of God. Bow down thine ear. And it's paying attention to the Word of God on purpose. There's a lot of things, I think, that go into that if you think about it. So, I think, first of all, paying attention on purpose begins not on Sunday morning, but on Saturday night. I do. I think if you stay up and watch the John Wayne reruns every Saturday night, you'll struggle to stay awake in church. And you won't be paying attention on purpose. Because really to pay attention on purpose means that I need to do those things, whatever it takes, to make sure that I am hearing. I cannot engage the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God if I, first of all, don't hear it. And so bowing down my ear means that I do that on purpose. Let me give you a quick illustration. I'll try to be quick with it. It's been a long time ago, it seems like now, but we planted a church in southern Arizona while I was still on active duty in the Army. And when we planted that church, there was a couple out of our sending church, it was about 20 or so miles away, that sent us out to this area to plant it. And they were an older couple. They lived out in that community area that we were going to. So they, of course, came as a part of the church plant. Great folks, both of them in heaven now. But their names were Frank and Teresa Lesko. And Frank was a World War II artilleryman, veteran of the artillery forces in World War II. So if you've ever been around him, you know what that means, is he couldn't hardly hear a lick, okay? I mean, he just had a hard time hearing. And there was one thing that, that men don't like to do when they're hard of hearing. Does anybody know what that is? Huh? Admit it. Huh? Okay, well, we'll move along. You'll get right with God soon, sister. But they came to church. Teresa had bad, some kind of arthritis all up and down her spine, and it was very hard for her to sit through a church service. We had old metal folding chairs, you know, suffering for Jesus stuff didn't bother me. I never sat down. But they would sit right back where you all are at back there in the church so that she could move around and not interrupt people. The problem was that Frank had a hard time hearing. And so when we first started, we didn't have a sound system or anything like that, you know, and I'd be preaching, and Frank would be sitting, like, leaning forward, and he'd have his hand like this, and he'd be leaning forward on the chair in front of him. And Teresa, of course, being a good wife, would say, Frank, you look dumb, you know, stop it. And so, that went on for a little while. Well, a few weeks into the church plant, we started making bulletins, okay? And they were just like, here's a full sheet, sideways, printed on, folded in half, you know. And we handed them out. We really thought we were established once we had bulletins, you know. And so Frank would take those bulletins. I'm not going to try to do it today. And he would roll them up in a cone. You can get the picture of that, right? And he would take the little end of the cone and he'd put it into his ear like this, right? And then he would sit with his elbow on his knee with that pointed forward to try to hear what was being said, okay? Because he couldn't hear otherwise. And of course, Teresa didn't like that one too much either, but that went on for a short period of time. One day, Frank came into church a little while later, and he had something he'd gotten out of the back of Reader's Digest, and it looked like a little transistor radio. Everybody remembers those, right? About this big, and had the little earbud, you know. What it really was an electronic runoff battery, a sound amplifier. So it just had a microphone on one side, a speaker out the other, or you could put the earbud in and put it straight into your ear. And so Frank bought one of those, and he'd put the earbud in his ear, and he'd hold that up during church so that he could hear what was being preached there. The only problem with that was, Teresa didn't get after him as much as she did with the bulletin in his ear, but the problem with that is that it amplifies every noise in the room. So if you sit in the back and there's 20 people in front of you, and they creak the chairs, you know, kids do whatever they do, you don't hear that much of the message necessarily. And so, one day Frank came to church and he had now done the one thing that men don't like to do when they're hard of hearing. You know what that is? No. Get hearing aids. Frank had gone up to the VA. He came in one Sunday morning sporting new hearing aids. And, he said, hey, how do you like these? I said, probably not as good as you, but, you know. His wife, Teresa, told us that he went in there and told that doctor, Doc, I can't hear my preacher preach. I need you to do what it takes so that I can hear my preacher preach the Word of God. That's bowing down your ear, isn't it? That's paying attention on purpose. It's overcoming obstacles. So that when you're sitting under the teaching of the Word of God, instead of your mind drifting away and your eyes getting tired and you nodding and you lose your focus, you know, listen, you and I can focus if we want to, can't we? And we can pay attention if we want to. And that's what he says. Listen, you need to pay attention on purpose. Bow down your ear. The second thing he says is this in verse 17. He says, bow down thine ear and, it's an addition, right, and hear the words of the wise. So here's the second thing I'm going to tell you. This is what he says. You need to pay attention on purpose, number one. Number two, you need to listen to learn. Listen with the intention of profiting or learning from it. Don't come to church and try to keep your eyes open and smile once in a while so you can endure the service and go home. Come to church to pay attention to the teaching and preaching of the Word of God on purpose with this intention that I want to go and hear because I want to learn something. I want to take something that I have, something that I can carry out of there, that I can now begin to live in my life. I want to listen. I want to listen for the purpose of learning. I want to engage the Word of God. And the word hearing there is a word that carries the idea of intelligent hearing, okay? So how many of you have ever done this? Maybe somebody, maybe your husband, maybe your wife, whatever, is talking to you, and you've got your focus on something else, and you're going, uh-huh, uh-huh, and you hear every word, but you hear nothing, right? I mean, you can physically hear the words, right? But you hear nothing. I mean, some of you are doing it right now, right? I mean, you're listening to me, you're hearing the words, but you're hearing, right? So, listen, you know that we can do that. Or I don't know about you, but I can sit there and read a book and the television is on or the radio is on and my wife will say, oh, that's really funny. I'll be like, uh-huh, okay. You know, I don't even hear it. I hear it, but I don't hear it, okay? So paying attention on purpose and then listening intelligently. Listening so that when all of this is done, there's the ability for God to take His Word and to develop something in me that He wants to develop, listening to learn. So how does that happen? Well, let me give you a few ideas. I've already sort of touched on this, but I think you prepare yourself before you come to church, okay? I think you spend maybe even some time in prayer before you come to church and get things that might be distracting, casting your burdens upon the Lord out of your life so that when you come to church, you're able to sit and listen with the intention of learning. Let me give you another one that I think is critically important. I think that when we come to church, we need to come with a pencil and paper in our hands. Let me tell you why. I sometimes use an illustration. I don't want to spend a lot of time on it this morning, but I just want you to think about this. Maybe you're driving down the road, coming home from work, your wife calls you up. Okay, so I'm going to give you a test here, okay, preacher? And she says, you know, I really love you. I'm so thankful for you as my husband. I'm so glad that you're my husband. And I realize I haven't been treating you as good as I should lately, which is tisk, 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 shame. But and so I want to make your favorite meal tonight. I want to do that. But the problem is that I don't have everything that I need. And so I need you to pick up a couple of things at the store. Say, okay, yeah, what do you need? And she goes, well, I need you to pick up 2 cans of tomato sauce, the Italian kind. I need you to pick up 4 loaves of bread. I need you to pick up 3 dozen eggs. I need you to pick up a gallon of milk. I need you to pick up a pint of apple juice. I need you to pick up a quart of vinegar and 3 tomato cherries. You say, okay, that's great. And you drive down the road, and, you know, on the way there, you see your buddies going out to the lake. You're like, man, I wish I was going to the lake. And so you pick up your phone, like, dude, you're going to the lake? And he's like, yeah, I'm going to the lake. And you're like, man, I wish I was going with you. And he goes, yeah, nanny boo boo. And you hang up, and you get to the place. You turn into the store, into the parking lot. You get out, you know, you park so somebody doesn't ding your car. You go in and get a shopping cart. You wipe it off so you don't catch the coronavirus. You do all those things, right? You go in the store, and you know, you go like this, whoa. Where is all this stuff, okay? And you're thinking, now what do I need? I need to buy some stuff. I need to go over and what do I need?
Text me, sweetheart. Text me. I will remember 2 cans of tomato sauce, eggs, bread, something else. I don't remember everything.
Yeah, right. So you pick up your phone, right? Hey, what was that third thing or fourth thing you needed? She goes, do you want me to text you? I don't need, just tell me what it is. I'm not stupid. Right? And you go find that, and then you can't. So finally you do what he said. Honey, could you text me that list? I don't even go to the store anymore for her, except I say, I'm leaving now. Text me what you want. Because I know sure enough I'm going to get there, and I'm going to get home, and I'm going to have forgotten something. Say, preacher, that's silly. It is, but I want to throw this at you. What makes you think that you could remember 3 or 4 hours of biblical instruction a week in an applicational way if you don't write key things down that God points out to you in the middle of a message? I mean, if you and I can't remember a grocery list from, you know, the road to there or all the other things that we forget, what makes us think that we can deal with eternal truth and keep it if we're not maybe writing some things down? And it's all it is it's following this instruction. God's instruction, not Rodney Woodcock's instruction, about how it is when we come to church, we engage the Word of God. And he says, listen, pay attention on purpose. Do what it takes to be at your best when you come to church. And then he says, listen with the intention of learning. Do what it takes to actually learn what's being taught when the Word of God is opened in your life. Now he says one more thing in verse 17. He says this, bow down thine ear and hear the words of the wise, and apply thine heart unto my knowledge. Now listen very carefully, because this is important, and without it will never profit from the preaching and teaching of the Word of God. The third thing is this, is that I need to now put that truth in place in my life. I need to apply it, okay? And the idea of applying it to my heart here, the very word means to set it in its place, right? To take that which you have and set it where it belongs. An application of the Word of God is the only way long term we remember the truths that we learn. And there has to be a deliberate time. Now listen to me. There has to be a deliberate time every time we engage the teaching and preaching of the Word of God. According to this, that there needs to be a deliberancy about this. That I pay attention on purpose. I listen to learn. But I don't write things down, go, well, that was good, throw it in the car, and get it out next Sunday. But I need to somehow make sure that thing that God's trying to do in my life gets in place in my life. You know why? Because God doesn't back up and regroup and say, never mind, I'll deal with that later. He keeps you there. You cannot grow until you deal with what he's dealing with you about right now. until you put that in place in your life so that the next thing can be put in place in your life. The Bible says that it's line upon line, right? Precept upon precept. And so God gathers us and he's trying to do one thing in your life, and you may pay attention on purpose. You should. We've learned that. And you may listen with the intention of learning. You should. We've learned that. But all of that, absent putting it in place in your life, really means it'll soon be gone from you. And it won't change you at all. And it is necessary. I mean, it is necessary that both in the service and even after the service. We used to have a family in our church in Idaho who would go home Sunday morning. They would all gather around the dinner table. The dad would go around and talk to every one of the kids. So what'd you learn at church today? They'd have to sit there and say, this is what I learned. This is what's going on. Sunday night, they come home from church. They'd have dinner. We shared several of them with them. They go around the table and say, what'd you learn at church today? What'd God say to you at church today? Why? Because he understood this truth. That if it's not put in place, if it's not put in place, it won't change my life. Is everybody with me here? So if the word of God is going to profit you, God gives us, through Solomon, the instruction on how we engage it so that it can profit us. Now, let me tell you that God tells you how this profits you in this passage. Look in verse 18 with me. It says, for it is a pleasant thing if thou keep them within thee. What is the them? The them here are the words of the wise. Bow down thine ear and hear the words of the wise, right? And apply it to thine heart. For it is a pleasant thing if thou keep them, the words of the wise, within you. The path to joy unspeakable and full of glory. The path to peace that passeth understanding. Those are really the key elements of an abundant life in Jesus Christ. Okay? The abundant life in Jesus Christ, it doesn't say you'll always have all the money that you'll need. Okay? That's not what abundance in Christ is. What it is being able to live above the circumstances of our life, whether good or bad, so that we're not pushed around by them. And we can have joy in spite of them, not simply because of them, and lose our joy then because of it and our peace. It's the abundant life in Christ. And he says this, here's the path to that. It's in applying the word of God in your life. Look at it again, verse 18. It is a pleasant thing if thou keep them within thee. Okay? In other words, you don't just hear it and leave and it's done. But instead, it's set in place in your life. You hear it, you learn it, and you apply it. And I'm just going to tell you, and you know this, that this process, even with today, when God would say to you, you know what, I want to rearrange that in your life, and he would say it through his word, you're going to have to make a decision about application, and then you're going to have to keep it in your life. Isn't that right? You know, every one of us has started some new thing, right, that we never finished. Why? Well, we didn't keep it in our life. But he does say this, you know, if you'll engage the word of God this way, and if you'll take it on and learn it, pay attention and learn it, that when all is said and done, that it'll be pleasant, or it'll be a sweetness in your life. The word of God will begin to be that which you crave, and it'll begin to have the effect of transforming your life. It'll be a pleasant thing if you keep it within your life. Well, let me give you another prophet of it here. It says this also in verse 8, they shall with all be fitted in thy lips. That's an interesting phrase, isn't it? So they shall with all be fitted in thy lips. They is the words of the wise. And it says that they will fit in your lips. What does that mean? What does it mean to have words fit in your lips? Have you ever heard somebody say something and you went, that's not what I expected to hear from you? Yeah. Right? Like the guy at work that, you know, is always swearing and cussing and, you know, talking and telling dirty jokes or whatever. And you say, hey, I'm going to church this week. You want to go? And he goes, oh, I love Jesus. You go, you love who? It doesn't fit, does it? Do you understand what I'm saying? It's not you being judgmental. It's just that it doesn't fit. Oh, yeah, I'm a Christian. I go to blah, blah, blah church every week. Well, amen. But, you know, in your brain you're thinking, well, I wish I was a fly on the wall when that's going on, you know, because it doesn't fit in his lips. Those things coming out of his mouth, they don't fit. And you do understand that people do watch you, right? And they watch your life, and they listen to your life, and they also the words that you say. And when you live one kind of life and you act one kind of way, or you know, really according to the world's way, and then you say, hey, we got a revival meeting going on. You should come and be a part of that. And they go, I don't think I want what's in you. It doesn't fit in your life. Your life backs up your words, or it reveals the emptiness of them, doesn't it? And what he says is that the only way that your life can be a balance, that your testimony can be powerful consequently, is when the life that you live equals the words that you speak. And how does that happen? When you profit from the Word of God. When you hear it, pay attention on purpose, listen to learn, put it in place in your life, it not only brings joy to your life, sweetness to your life, but it gives you the ability to have a powerful, consistent testimony before people that need the Lord Jesus Christ out there. And people need the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? And it is a desperate, desperate day for that. Let me give you just a couple more things, and our time will be passed. But look with me in verse number 19, if you would. It said this, that thy trust may be in the Lord, I have made known to thee this day, even to thee. Okay? So here's what God says. You need to engage the Word of God. I'm trying to change something. I'm trying to do something in your life, transform you. And here's how you do that. You pay attention on purpose. You listen to learn. You put it in place in your life. And when you do hear some profit from it, it'll be sweet in your life. It'll be pleasant. There'll be joy available to you. And your words and your life will fit together. There'll be congruency. There'll be a testimony from your life. But then he also says this, your faith in me will grow. Okay? So he says, that thy trust, verse 19, may be in the Lord, I have made known to thee this day, even to thee. I'm telling you these things because you need to engage the Word of God this way in order for your faith to grow. If you want your faith to grow, it requires the Word of God. The miracle grow for your faith, your ability to walk in trust, to depend upon God, and to believe that He'll do what He says, that He is who He says He is, all of that comes from the ingesting of the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. What does this passage say? Hear on purpose, hear to learn, put it in place, because then your faith will grow. Okay? That your trust might be in the Lord. And you'll not be like a dead leaf in the yard that blows this way and blows that way and blows this way and blows that way. But your faith, you will be rooted and grounded in faith that grows because you have profited from the teaching and preaching of the Word of God. Verse 20. One more thing I'll tell you and we'll be done. Have not I written to thee excellent things in counsels and knowledge, that I might make thee to know the certainty of the words of truth, that thou mightest answer the words of truth to them that sinned unto thee. So it produces joy, right? And it gives you congruency of testimony, and your faith is built. And it also does this, is that it prepares you for the questions of the world and the enemy, that you might know how to answer them who ask, it says. And profiting here is how we go out there. I've heard this, and you have too, people say, hey, you know, why don't you come out to the bar with us tonight? We're all going after work. No, I can't go. I don't want to go. Well, how come you don't want to go? I mean, you got something else to do? No, I just don't want to go. Well, how come you don't want to go? Well, because I'm a Baptist. You know, we're miserable people. We don't do anything fun at all. Oh, could I be one too? That is not the reason that you're not going. You're going because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And you're certainly not going to drag your master into the dens of iniquity of this world and say, to God be the glory. You're not going, because that is where you get filled with the wrong spirit, not the right spirit. Amen. Listen, there's no thing that's in here that you find there that's of any profit. You're not going over there because you're a Baptist. You're not saying, I can't go because I'm a Baptist. But if you were to profit from this word and your faith were to grow, you say, let me tell you why. Because the Bible says that I'm not to be filled drunk. I'm not to be controlled by those things. Because the Bible says that whatsoever I do, whether I eat, whether I drink, or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. And I'm telling you, there is no glory of God when you walk by and see me in the bar with everybody else. I have an answer, not because someone told me, and not because, well, I'm a Baptist, you know, for those funless people. Look at my face. No sparkle in my eyes, no smile on my lips. I don't even need to see the dentist because nobody ever sees my teeth. You know, I mean, that's how bad it is. That's not the answer. The answer is because of who God is and the wonderful things he's given you in your life to fill it up. Amen? So there's profit for your life in living when you profit from the teaching of the Word of God. This is not the only place you should engage the Word of God. You should be in your own life meditating on the Word of God. But the instruction of the Word of God, God has designed the church to be the source for that. And the method he's designed is teaching and preaching, and really preaching the Word of God. And God's done his part. Listen, verse 19, I have made known to thee these days. Verse 20, I have written excellent things. Verse 21, that I might make thee to know the certainty of the words of truth. Can I tell you this? God's word is designed to profit. The preaching of the Word of God, as we've seen, is intended to be the mechanism. And God has done his part. God has given you everything you know. You know how Peter wrote it? All things that pertain unto life and godliness have been given to you. There is a smorgasbord of abundant living laid out in front of you between the covers of this book. Whether or not you partake of it is up to you. Be in the house of God. Engage the teaching and preaching of the Word of God according to the instruction of God, and watch what God can do with it in your life. Amen. Father, thank you for our time. I pray you bless.